Good evening. Let me get situated here. Tonight our main text is going to be Joshua chapter 14. But I would like to start in Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17 and verse 5 it says, "And the apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. So the Lord said, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be pulled up by the rocks and be planted in the sea, and it would obey you." So tonight's lesson is the result of when you're teaching in the adult class and you're writing a few things on the board and you nonchalantly say, that would be a good sermon outline. And Bob's sitting in the class and says, "By the way, Matt, there's nobody signed up for September." So we've been studying, and I know a lot of the lower classes as well have been studying about the judges, Joshua and Judges, the conquest of Canaan. So this will be fresh on some of their minds. What I wanted to talk about tonight was Caleb. And Caleb in Joshua chapter 14. So what I first want to say tonight is that this is a story about Caleb. This is not a story about the children of Israel. This is a story from the perspective of Caleb at a certain age, at a certain time. So just for us to start, we're going to have three different places in the land. So this is a map of the land of Canaan at the time of Joshua, around the time of the conquest. I don't know if we have an arrow here. Yeah, we do. So right here is Gilgal, is where our story starts here in Joshua chapter 14. And Gilgal is where the camp was after they had conducted the southern campaign and the northern campaign for the conquest of the land. Gilgal's right there by Jericho and Ai, which were the first two places where they went. And then by the time we get to Joshua chapter 14, they have had both of these campaigns, and they're beginning the division of the land. They had actually just divided the land and recognized the lands for those on the east side of the Jordan. And then you have Caleb that comes up to Joshua. Here's the map of the whole conquest of Canaan itself was a process of divide and conquer. For they went in here, crossed the Jordan, there at Gilgal, and then they at Jericho and Ai, then they went southern. Southward, and then they went northward. And so, as part of that, we have Joshua chapter 14, and starting in verse 6, where it says, "Then the children of Judah came to Joshua in Gilgal. And Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, 'You know the word which the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me in Kadesh Barnea.'" So this is how we begin the story. Here's a picture of Joshua sitting and Caleb coming before him. And they're here at Gilgal. But he points out, he says, "You remember, you know what the Lord said to me through Moses." When we were down here in the southern portion, it's almost the southern end of what Judah was assigned in Kadesh Barnea. So at this point, what happens is, if this was the movie, this would be the point where we have the fade. This would be the very beginning of the story. You'd have two old men coming together. And Joshua is one of those old men, and Caleb is the other. And he walks up, and there's this big setting, and there's people gathered around. And they're on this hill. They're in this area called Gilgal. And Caleb says, "You remember, you know what the Lord said to me through Moses, the man of God, concerning you at Kadesh Barnea." So then we have to fade back, actually, to Numbers chapter 13. So turn with me there, if you will. Numbers chapter 13. So So now we'll get into the story that we're all very familiar with about Caleb. But I want you to keep in mind where we started. This is Caleb telling the story from his perspective. This is Caleb bringing to memory Joshua, who was there. Maybe he's speaking loud enough so others can hear. And he's going back to that time down here in Kadesh Barnea, where they have just reached the edge of the promised land. And in Numbers chapter 13, starting in verse 1, it says, "And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the children of Israel. From each tribe of their fathers, you shall send a man, every one a leader among them." So Moses went then from the wilderness of Paran, according to the command of the Lord, all the men who were the heads of the children of Israel. And then it lists there, verses 4 through 16, the different men who are chosen from each tribe. And Caleb is the representative from Judah, there in verse 6. And then Joshua is the representative from Ephraim, verse 8, Hoshea, the son of Nun. And then Moses gives them the instruction to these 12 men, and starting in verse 17, he says, "Then Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said to them, go up this way into the south and up to the mountains and see what the land is like, whether the people who dwell in it are strong or weak, few or many, whether the land they dwell in is good or bad, whether the cities they inhabit are like camps or strongholds, whether the land is rich or poor, and whether there are forests there or not. Be of good courage, and bring some of the fruit of the land." Now the time was the season of the first ripe grapes. So they went up and spied out the land from the wilderness of Zin, as far as Rehob, near the entrance of Hamath. And they went up through the south and came to Hebron. So they came here from Kadesh Barnea, here at the south, and they moved up here as far as Hebron. So this is as they're coming out of the wilderness. Ahiman, Sheshiah, and Talmiah, and the descendants of Anak were there, which were giants. Now Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. Then they came to the valley of Eshcol, and there cut down a branch with one cluster of grapes. They carried it between two of them on a pole. They also brought some of the pomegranates and figs. The place was called the Valley of Eshcol because of the cluster which the men of Israel cut down there. And they returned from spying out the land after 40 days. So we're very familiar with that story where they go up and they're about to enter the land. And they send these spies in. God tells them to send these spies in and to see what is there. So now let's flip back to Joshua 14. In Joshua 14, here we have Caleb's version of what he said when he came back as one of those 12 spies. And it says in chapter 14 and verse 7, "And I brought back word to him as it was in my heart." So he brought back word as it was in his heart, as it was what he believed. It says in verse 7 up above there, "I was 40 years old when Moses sent the servant of the Lord, when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy the land, and I brought back word to him as it was in my heart." So Caleb was 40 years old when he's on the edge of the wilderness there, seeing the edge of the promised land and being sent in to do what Moses told him to do from God. So what does that mean about Caleb himself? As a man who's 40 years old, they had spent several months. They had spent time at the Mount Sinai. Prior to that, they had spent time, crossing the Red Sea. Prior to that, what had he witnessed? He had witnessed the ten plagues, in Israel. He had witnessed this man coming out of the wilderness who somebody said was related, who was an Israelite, who was doing these signs in front of Pharaoh. But what had he done before that? As a 40-year-old man, he had been a slave. He had been born into slavery. He had been in the depths of slavery, and he may have even had children at that point. But he had hard labor for many years. probably from the age of, he started to grow, 15 something, 13, younger than that, to the age of somewhere around 40. He had been a slave. And then if you move that forward, you think about all the things that he had seen up to this point. Up to the time when he was 40 years old, he had gone through the plagues, witnessing the things that Moses did and spoke to this powerful man, Pharaoh. He saw the parting of the Red Sea. He saw the destruction of Pharaoh's army. He saw the different things show up in the wilderness, the water, the manna from heaven, the quail. He saw all of these things. He saw people in their haste. He was not up on the mountain with Moses and Joshua. In their haste at the base of Mount Sinai, he saw the people just revert back to the gods of Egypt. But he knew what he had seen. And so when he says there at the end of verse 7, "And I brought back to him as it was in my heart." We're going to read back in Numbers 13 what they saw, exactly what they saw. And they reported that back. But then we're going to see what Caleb thought of what he had seen versus the others. So let's go back to Numbers chapter 13 again. So in Numbers chapter 13, starting back in verse 26, it says, "Now they departed and came back to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. They brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. Then they told him and said, 'We went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey. And this is its fruits. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong, and the cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the banks of the Jordan.'" So they tell this story, and they say, and you can, if you can picture, they tell it because in the very next verse it says, "And Caleb quieted the crowd," is what it says. So after they tell this first part, there starts this rumble in the crowd that says, "Oh dear. There's giants. There's people everywhere. There's people in the mountains. There's everything. And it's not good." It's a matter of tone of voice. They told the facts, but you could already tell, "Nevertheless, there's the sons of Anak. There's people everywhere. It's filled. It's an amazing land." Verse 30, "Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, 'Let us go up at once and take possession, for we are able to overcome it.'" So that's what he was in his heart. That's exactly what he says later. "I spoke what was in my heart." And what was in his heart was, "Let's go do it. Let's go take it and take possession, for we are able to overcome it." But no sooner than he said that, verse 31. Well, first let's switch back. So he said that, but let's go back to his commentary in Joshua chapter 14. In verse 8 it says, "Nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me made the heart of the people melt. I told what was in my heart, but then those other 10, they told what was in their heart. And so the result was it made the heart of the people melt." And so if you take that, those statements back to Numbers 13 and 31, it says, "But the men who had gone up with him said, 'We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we.' And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, 'The land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people who we saw are men of great stature. There were the giants, the descendants of Anak came from the giants, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight. and so we were in their sight. So you can see the picture of them here. They were huge. They were everywhere. That land is so amazing. It just takes the people that we would be devoured. We are like grasshoppers. They told what was in their heart. And their heart was guided by what their eyes could see at that very moment. Their eyes were guided by what they could see at that very moment as they spied for those 40 days. Not what their heart or not what their eyes had seen over the past several months. Not remembering the mistakes they had made over the past several months. But Caleb had spoken what was in his heart. We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. But then in Numbers 14, I said Numbers 13 there, but it's Numbers 14. After a little bit of complaining, it was very similar. At the beginning of Numbers 14, the people of Israel, they start saying, why? So they have Caleb and they have Joshua who say, look, let's go take it now. They have the other 10 spies. We're grasshoppers. There's no way. We just can't do it. And then the people have a reaction just like it was at the edge of the Red Sea. They're like, why did you bring us out? Better we had been left in Egypt. And you know Moses and Joshua and Caleb, and I'm sure there were others, who just can't believe what they're actually hearing at this point. And if you look at Numbers 14 and verse 6, it says, well, we'll start in verse 5. It says, then Moses, well, one more verse, sorry. Verse 4, it says, so they said to one another, let us select a leader and return to Egypt. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. But Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes. And they spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, they implored them, the land we passed through to spy out is exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for they are our bread. Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. And all the congregation said to stone them with stones. Now the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle in the meeting before all the children of Israel. They thought what Caleb and Joshua said was, they were imploring them, saying, no, look, the Lord is with us. That is so ridiculous, you deserve to die. Are you crazy? We're going to pick up stone, we're going to stone you. But then the presence of the Lord stopped that from happening. Moses and Aaron knew what the situation is. It's the same repeat for them. It's the same repeat Joshua has seen. And Caleb has actually, they've seen it for several months now. The displays of power that the Lord showed the children of Israel all the way from all out of Egypt, all the way across the Red Sea, all the way across the wilderness, the things he provided, and still their heart melted. But Caleb was a man who had taken those same instances as an individual. And it had built up his heart. It had built up his faith. He could command that tree to get up and move, and it would. He could do whatever the Lord told him to do because the Lord told him to do it. What's so interesting about the Old Testament is the grand story that it tells of us getting to Jesus. The story it tells of the story of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, creating the nation of Israel so that they can fulfill the promises to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12. But throughout the whole story of the Old Testament are individual stories of redemption, individual stories of faith, individual stories of promises made to people that are fulfilled. And there are also lots of individual stories where the people had lack of faith. and the promises or the warnings that were given were not heeded. But the story of Jacob, he is a leader of Judah, but in the grand scheme of the Old Testament, he doesn't have a lot of text, to tell you the truth. But he speaks volumes through his actions and what he was willing to do. So in Numbers 14, this before we get to this, Numbers 14 and verse 20, just before that, we have one more of those discussions between the Lord and Moses saying, I'm just going to get rid of this people. And Moses has to intercede for the people again, just like he had to intercede for them at Mount Sinai. And in Numbers 14, he pronounces judgment. He says, Then the Lord said, I have pardoned according to your word, which was Moses asking him to pardon him. But truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. Because all these men who have seen my glory and the signs which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness and have put me to the test now these 10 times and have not heeded my voice, they certainly shall not see the land of which I swore to their fathers, nor shall any of those who rejected me see it. But my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit in him and has followed me fully, I will bring into the land where he went, and his descendants shall inherit it. Now the Amalekites and the Canaanites dwell in the valley. Tomorrow turn and move away into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea. So in this map here, we have showing the journey from Egypt to Sinai up into Kadesh Barnea, which is right about here, for the children of Israel. But then we have this unfortunate. As I was looking for maps, there was one map that showed that area, just showed this spiral of an arrow moving in circles. So what's going to happen is for the next 40 years, those children of Israel, as we know, are going to be wandering in the wilderness. And all those 20 and under were the ones who were going to take the land. The ones that they said, well, you know, you brought us out here for our children to die. It's those children, he says, that are going to take the land. So then we go back. We have, well, and out of that multitude of people of all those nations, and remember, that's close to 600,000 men of war, which means probably over a million, easily over a million, probably close to 2 million people. The men of war are, I think, 20 and older. So it's all the young ones. It was but my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit in him, and has followed me fully. Take note of that quote. Let's turn back to Joshua chapter 14. Let me find it here real quick. Back in verse 8, where the last thing he had said was, Nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. So Moses swore on that day, saying, Surely the land where your foot has trodden shall be your inheritance and your children's forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God. So he told what was in his heart. He demonstrated his faith. He demonstrated his faith in the presence of a large multitude of those who were not demonstrating their faith. As the Lord even observed, he has a different spirit, and he has followed me fully. And as Caleb quoted, he doesn't just brag upon himself. He uses the words of God. I have wholly followed the Lord. And now, so, but here's one of the points that I want us to really, really, really focus on for a few minutes. Caleb was 40 when this happened, as he said in verse 7. And now, verse 10, behold, the Lord has kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years. So you have a man of faith willing to put his faith on the line, claim to all the people that let's go take the land. But the majority of them do not. So he is given a reward. But that reward will be 45 years in coming. And what happens during those 45 years? If you go back to Numbers 13 and then start flipping through the rest of Numbers, you have several more rebellions, several more instances where the children of Israel are punished. Even Moses himself has a moment where he makes a poor choice and is not allowed to go into the land of the promised land. Caleb is surrounded on all sides by those who had lack of faith. He is offered his reward immediately. But from that reward, he is going to have to build upon that faith. He's going to have to maintain that faith. He's going to have to add patience. He's going to add long-suffering. He's going to add brotherly love for his fellow Israelites. Because he's not going to see the day where he inherits that land for another 45 years. To double his lifespan. And so that's the thing that I want us to pay attention to out of Caleb's perspective. Here I am. What we often do is we often look at this passage and we go, verse 11, as yet I am as strong as this day as on the day Moses sent me. Just as my strength was then, so now is my strength for war, both for going out and for coming in. So the Lord had preserved him. He is just as vigorous as he was when he was 40 years old. That's most likely miraculous, right? But how are you going to last for 45 years? In the face of all the people who had caused you to wait 45 years for that promise. Because you had the faith, but those around you didn't. Can you persevere? Can you keep going? You know, when we were in class, I wondered out loud whether or not, so Caleb was from the tribe of Judah. And there was another lady who showed great faith before this point where he's claiming his land. Her name is Rahab. I wonder if Caleb and Rahab ever met, because Rahab became part of the lineage of Christ, which would come through Judah. Interesting part was someone who makes it to the hall of faith in Hebrews chapter 11. Caleb's not mentioned there. But you know Caleb had a profound effect on those around him. He had a profound effect because of his longevity, for his consistency, for his energy for God, for his willingness to obey, his willingness to do the things that the God tells him to do. The Lord has kept me alive, as he said he would, for 45 years. Caleb didn't know what he was getting into at age 40. He heard the proclamation of the punishment. He watched all those who he came out of slavery with. He watched the younger generation. You think of the younger generation who walked into that land, who marched into that land, conquered Jericho, conquered Ai after things were straightened out, and do the southern conquest, the northern conquest. And that moment in our movie, when Caleb comes up to Joshua and says, "You remember what the Lord said." 45 years in the making, that one moment. You prepared to go that long of a haul? Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 2. Deuteronomy is essentially a review of what has happened. But it gives us a couple of interesting details about in the context of this story. Deuteronomy chapter 2, starting in verse 14. And the time we took to come from Kadesh Barnea until we crossed over the valley of Zered was 38 years, until all the generation of men of war was consumed from the midst of the camp, just as the Lord had sworn to them. For indeed the hand of the Lord was against them to destroy them from the midst of the camp until they were consumed. So it was, when all the men of war had finally perished from among the people, that the Lord spoke to me, saying, this day you are to cross over to Ar, the boundary of Moab. And then he proceeds and says, tells them you're about to take the land. But they take some time. So Caleb said, 45 years, and it was 40 years in the wilderness. But it takes approximately 5 years for them to go through the southern campaign and northern campaign. So as a man of 80-ish, he starts into the land and starts the conquering that he was ready to do 40 years earlier. And then he's willing to participate in a 5-year campaign to conquer the land. And then just as an afterthought, he finds that he takes the land in Hebron. He wants that mountain. And in Joshua 14 and verse 12, he says, now therefore give me this mountain of which the Lord spoke in that day. For you heard in that day, now the Anakim were there, and that the cities were great and fortified. It may be that the Lord will be with me, and I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord said. There's another one. I'm 85. But I'm just going to keep going. God said that it may be that I keep going. I'll clear the people out of there. Don't worry about it. This was actually a huge point, because the children of Israel, they went to the southern campaign, they conquered, but they didn't conquer entirely. They went to the northern campaign, they conquered, but they didn't conquer entirely. And Joshua was getting old, and the Lord said, you got to divide up the land. You're getting old. I will give them the land, but they've got to make the effort and go. And so who's there to lead that charge again? Caleb, 85 years old. His faith hasn't waned. His vigor hasn't waned. And he's ready to go. Not because of his own might, not because of his own ability, but because of his own faith in God and his power. And that's what's amazing about the man of Caleb. He challenges someone when he settles Hebron in chapter 15 of Joshua to go help conquer the land around it. And a man named Othniel, his brother's nephew, who ends up being the first judge of Israel, goes and conquers. And then he gives Othniel his daughter. So there in Hebron is where he settles in that area, and all his family as part of Judah. They were speaking there at Gilgal, recalling what happened at Kadesh Barnea, and he took the land there around Hebron. This was a little more than what I had wrote on the board, but this is the perspective of Caleb that we have in Joshua 14. You know the word which the Lord said. You know what happened back then, Joshua. You know where we were. You know what was going on. And we went and we came back. And I brought back word to him. And that him is Moses. As it was in my heart. I brought back to him the faith that was in my heart of what we could do. But my brethren who went up with me made the heart of the people melt, which caused them to have to wander in the wilderness for 40 years. But as was pointed out, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God, Caleb was given, promised the land that he would have. But that took 45 years to receive that promise. And at the end, Caleb, without much hesitation, says, now therefore, give me this mountain of which the Lord spoke in that day. So the story of Caleb, of demonstrating faith, demonstrating faith in the midst of a large number of people who did not have faith, who you thought should have had faith, who for all the same reasons should have had equal faith and ready to go. And at times they did, but many times it waned. But in the end, Caleb was still that faithful servant, ready to receive his reward, ready to expect his reward, ready to ask for his reward, if the Lord will. What an amazing story. What an amazing story of redemption. What an amazing story of faith, of counting on the promise of God, and watching that promise fulfilled, even though it wasn't necessarily in the time that he was going to expect. But that's Caleb. And so, with that concept, with that idea, with that character that we have, I turn back to Luke, where we started out, in Luke chapter 17. Where the disciples ask, the apostles ask the Lord, increase our faith. If you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and be planted in the sea, and it would obey you. That was the faith of Caleb. It also makes me turn to 2 Peter, as I alluded to a little bit. In 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5, it says, but also for this very reason, give all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if all these are yours and abound, you shall be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. I read through that and I think of Caleb over his 45 years, wandering in the wilderness with his brethren, watching them die, knowing he was given a promise that he would receive the land one day, helping to raise the next generation of Israel as they were getting ready to conquer, and then seeing sometimes them failing as well when they went in to conquer the land. It should be of great encouragement to us for the long haul. Often things don't happen on our time scale. 90% of the time, 99% of the time, they don't happen on the time scale that we want. They happen on the time scale that the Lord wants. The Lord is always playing the long game to teach us to increase our faith, to increase our trust in Him. And we can look to people such as Caleb to find that. In 2 Peter chapter 1, that verse 9 says, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Caleb didn't know anything about Christ. But he knew that God made promises. Fulfill them. Part of God's promise was the promise of Christ would come and do away with the old law and be a sacrifice for our sins. And throughout the New Testament, when Jesus was in his ministry, his was not a ministry of might. His was not a ministry of physical might. He demonstrated power through his miracles, but his might was through his wisdom and through his word and through the power to forgive sins. Throughout the Judges and throughout Joshua, the conquering of the land was not about the might of the people of Israel. It was about the might of God. Always the odds from a physical perspective were stacked against the Israelites. But always, when they were in good graces of the Lord, they won. Without a doubt. That's us today. Through Christ. No matter what the odds are, we win. Caleb understood that. We have to understand that. It takes time. Over those 45 years, do you think that faith grew? Do you think that trust grew? That expectation for the reward grew? I hope so. And I hope it can in us. Tonight, if there's anyone who is interested in becoming a Christian, and you understand the role that Jesus plays in the grand scheme of the entire Bible, the role as the Son of God coming to earth and being our sacrifice for our sins. Then you can also understand the power of Him being our sacrifice, just like the sacrifices in the Old Testament, but this was a sacrifice for all time. And that sacrifice and that blood can wash away our sins if we join Him in that sacrifice or in that renewal, and in that renewing by Him raising from the dead through us rising with Him through baptism. That invitation is for all. This was the promised land that was for the children of Israel. The promise that is for us is for all over the world. And the invitation is for all. Also through Christ, we have the opportunity to ask of Him, to entreat of Him. He serves as our intercessor, to ask for forgiveness of our sins. If we've become a child of God, but have fallen away, as often the children of Israel did many times, we're studying right now in Judges. There was a generation that knew not God. Then they would be oppressed. Then they would cry out to the Lord and He would send a judge. In our case, when we're in sin, eventually we will be oppressed. We will be oppressed of heart, and we may be oppressed physically. We'll be oppressed in some way. You can guarantee it. But we have a judge. We have an intercessor. We have a way of salvation, and that's Christ, who we can come and ask the prayers of. And He's always willing there to take us back. But we have to make the step towards Him. So if anyone's subject to the invitation, please come as we stand and sing.